Book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Years ago, if you wanted to order something out of a catalog, what'd you have to do? What'd you have to do to order from Sears and Roebuck? Oh, some of you are showing your age. If you've seen a lot of sunrises and sunsets, you had to send them a letter in the mail, and that's the way you communicated. If you hadn't seen quite as many, then you would call them. Nowadays, what do they have?
Online.
Everything's a website.
And Sears ain't there no more.
So what is it that you prefer, your preferred way of communication? What do you prefer to write a letter and, you know, take a couple of weeks to figure out whether or not they're going to send it to you and all that? Or do you prefer to call and talk somebody on the phone, or do you prefer to just go online and punch it all in?
I prefer to talk to them.
Raise your hand if you prefer to talk on the telephone when ordering something. Raise your hand if you're an online person. You got a couple of Amazon people. Of course, the younger generation. So the problem that I run into stuff, ordering stuff online, is that anybody can go and create a website. Anybody can include payment information. And very few of those anybodies are actually end up being real. So what I do, and it scares me to death ordering stuff online. So what I do if I've never ordered from a company before is I'll call them up and I'll say, hey, I just wanted to make sure y'all were real before I put my credit card information in. And in order that, and I get a lot of people saying, yeah, we get that a lot. The point I'm trying to make is we prefer communication over no communication, don't we? How many of you enjoy getting the silent treatment? You may enjoy it for a short period of time, but you don't enjoy it extended. Quit laughing. You don't enjoy it extended. You may appreciate it whenever your wife or your husband, you know, hushes and gives you a break every now and then for just a few minutes of silence, or if you're like us, when that girl stops spewing words out, she uses more in an hour than most of us use in a month. You may appreciate the silence for a minute, but after a little while it gets old, and part of our nature is to crave human interaction. Well, we crave somebody to talk to, and I dare say that you couldn't go a couple of days without interacting with somebody, communicating verbally with somebody. Most of the time, face-to-face, we prefer that interaction. There's a TV show called Alone, and what they do is they take and drop 10 people in the middle of the wilderness somewhere. It's either Canada or Argentina or something, and they're forced to survive on their own, all alone, at least 20 miles from the nearest contestant, and without contact to anyone. No phones, no cellular, no walkie-talkies, no smoke signals, no nothing. And the majority of people, what makes them call in and tap out and say, I give up, I'm going home, is the loneliness. That's what gets most of them, because at our very core, we crave human interaction. The problem is, it seems like we give in to the craving significantly more naturally than we do spiritually, because our spiritual self craves interaction with God. And if you do not crave interaction with God, then we need to talk about your salvation. Because spiritually, we crave interaction with God. We're supposed to. We're supposed to desire to be spiritually fed of His Word. We're supposed to desire to come and together with one another. And we're that's basic as far as being a Christian goes. And it's not something that we necessarily have a choice in. You don't have a choice in whether or not you're hungry. Your body tells you that. Well, in the same way, spiritually, your spirit tells you whether or not you need feeding. You need interaction. You need communication with God. And so many times, churches will focus on this, that, and the other, and we miss prayer. Probably because the majority of people in this world, whenever they think of prayer, the terms that they see it in is blasphemous. Because people will say, well, I'll pray for you, and it's an absolute lie. Other people will say, well, I'll pray for this and I'll pray for that, but who are they praying to, or what are they praying to? Nobody knows. Very few people actually pray serious in this world anymore. And I say few, I'm talking about the minority. thing about it is we can read our Bible till we're blue in the face, but God desires communication from us too. He can speak to us through His Word, and we can be fed through His Word, but that's only one way. Imagine your wife only talking at you and you not being able to respond or talk back. Imagine your husband only being able to talk to you and you not being able to respond or talk back in any way. You're just sitting there listening. Eventually, you get tired of listening to him, wouldn't you? Maybe, maybe not. I heard some people were excited for revival because they were excited to hear a different preacher. But it's all the time. You can't listen to the same thing over and over again. Communication is not one directional. It's always two directional. And I believe that we miss out on three important aspects of prayer. One is the necessity of it, because we don't want to pray. I found it easy to pray whenever I got to the age that I was saved, and I was asked if I wanted to pray in church, if I would pray in church. And my dad prayed in church, and my uncle prayed in church, and everybody else prayed in church. So I said, yeah, I'll pray in church. So I asked my dad, I said, Daddy, how do I pray in church? Can you teach me how to pray in church? Can you tell me how to pray in church? And he said, you just talk to God like nobody else is there. How many of you has ever done that? How many of you have talked to God like nobody else was ever there? We sure don't do it in church. We don't. Most of the time we pray a very scripted prayer. And I've only listened to a couple of y'all pray a few dozen times over the last several years, and I could near about write down what you're going to say. You could probably do the same thing with me. Do we pray to God out of habit or out of desire? Whenever you pray, do you pray because I heard this said, and I used to, it was Corey Stevens' daddy. Roger, thank you. He sat just to the right of us in church, and what he said in his prayers, he prayed for all them soldiers on fighting on foreign soil. I didn't know what he was saying. I know it sounded good. So whenever I prayed it for all those soldiers fighting on foreign soil. Far and S-O-L soil. That's what I heard. So that's what I prayed. And as a teenager, that's what I prayed. Because I'd heard him say it. And Bailey now, she's picked up whenever I pray at home. I start my prayer, Heavenly Father. And we'll sit down and she'll say her God is great. And then she'll say, now you say Heavenly Father. We do it all the time. Paul is writing here to Timothy in chapter 2. And my heading in my Bible says, Paul exhorted Timothy to pray and to give thanks for all men. Praying is not something that's easy, and I want to make that very, very clear. Praying is not something that's simple. And praying is not something that you're good at all of a sudden. You may never be good at it. I've sat and I've listened to prayers that I thought would never end, that the man would bless everything down to the doorknobs in the church. And it just drug on and on and on. And I'm sitting here trying to pay attention and keep from falling asleep with my head down in the prayer service, because this man is going on and on. And then I've heard people pray that's, you know, 20 or 30 seconds. And the thing about it is I'm focused in on their prayer like it affects me in some way. Brother Randy, your prayer does not affect my relationship with God. It does not affect my communication with God, nor should it, because it's yours. It's your prayer. And while we can, and I have here, I've been blessed by some people praying in this church. Some of you here tonight, I've been blessed by the way that you pray. But we pray to God out of a desire to be closer to Him and to communicate with Him from our heart. From our very being. That is the reason that we pray. And Paul said here, he said, I exhort therefore that first of all. Now he begins with introducing himself to Timothy, to exhorting Timothy and reminding Timothy of what he's been charged to do in chapter number 1. And then he begins this first epistle of Paul to Timothy. And he says, first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks, be made for all men. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I missed over this for most of my life, and I was reading this past week. I've had a lot of time to do that, laying flat on my back. And where he says, in all godliness. What does it mean to be godly? Little g, godly. Anybody want to take a stab at it? There's no wrong answer. Ish. Nobody? What does it mean to be godly? You're not elevating yourself to a point of being like God. You are attempting to elevate your character to mimic that of Christ. You're trying to achieve righteousness. No, we're not going to. We are trying to get to that point. We are trying to elevate our character. We are trying to elevate our spirituality. We are trying to elevate the ability of God to work through us. We are trying to work our way up spiritually. We are trying to grow. We are trying to be more like Him. And who did Jesus die for? Everybody. Was it just white people? No. Was it just brown people? Because Jesus was brown, for those who missed it. Was it just those who lived 2,000 years ago? Was it just those who had never committed the crime? I might ask a two-sided question. Did he die for Hitler?
Yes, he did.
He did. He died for everybody. The blood of Jesus is non-segregate. He's no respecter of persons. If we're going to be godly, then we pray for everyone. We pray for those that we don't like, that God could help them, that God could reach them, that God could impact them. We pray for those who may not be godly. We pray for those who may not be saved. We pray for those who even may be led astray by another religion or by another person or by an addiction or by a person or by hatred or by whatever it may be. For those brothers who are led astray and fallen away, we pray for them because we are commanded to them, because Jesus did not discriminate, neither will we. And there's there was a song come out several years ago. And the song was, I'll Pray for You. And it was a funny song. And I hope that it was meant to be that way. But the song said, I pray a fire pop falls from your windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. Some of you heard the song. But the whole song was that way. And said, I'm going to pray for him, but I'm going to pray bad things happen to him. Jesus forgave all men, as should we. Jesus died for all men, as we should pray for all men, so that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Is there a certain prayer that we are supposed to pray? Jesus gave us a model prayer, and a lot, especially athletes, will recite that. Reciting that prayer means nothing if you don't mean it. We teach our kids to pray at the dinner table. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands, we are fed. Y'all recognize the prayer. It means nothing. It's a tool to teach. And it's a powerful tool to teach. But until the kid comes to the realization that he or she is communicating with our Heavenly Father, with God, then it's a teaching tool. Not that it means nothing, but until they're communicating with God, they're not communicating with God. But the Bible says to train up a child, and that's the reason we do it. Before the kids go to bed, they say, now lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. Y'all remember that one too? Bailey has a little book of prayers, and it's a hardback book, and it's a prayer for every occasion. Like the one that Jesus gave to us in Matthew, it is a model prayer. He's trying to teach His disciples how you are to pray. And there's a lot in that. And we may get to that later. But there's no absolute prayer. And a lot of religions teach that you're supposed to pray this prayer and they'll hand you a piece of paper. Praying to God is talking to God, is communicating with God. And several times throughout the Bible, and we're not going to get to all of them tonight, several times He says, let your supplications be known. And He said, if you'll pray believing, it'll be given to you. He said, ask and you shall receive. And I'm taking that one out of context. But he said, ask and you shall receive. If we have things in our life that we desire that are of him, and it is his will in our life, then we need but to ask. If we need healing in our church, we need but to ask. If we need forgiveness in our life, we need but to ask. If we have lost in our church and in our community, we need but to ask God. How close do you think Jesus coming back is? I heard a preacher not long ago say that. He said, there's somebody somewhere praying for God to have mercy on these few lost souls. And he said, that's the reason Jesus hadn't come back yet. He was making a point. But I believe that praying to God for mercy on our country, on our community, I believe that it makes a difference. I believe that praying to God for mercy on our church makes a difference. I believe that praying for God, praying to God for leadership in our life makes a difference. And if you don't believe that prayer makes a difference, then please don't participate in the service tonight. If you don't believe what you're saying, then don't say it. And don't repeat something that somebody else said just because it sounded good, or because you need to fill in the space, or because you're trying to pray for a long time. That don't really mean much. It's not from the heart. We're not praying so that other people can hear us. We're praying to let our supplications be known unto God, because that is key. He said, first of all. And I know that God has worked a lot of things out in this church. God's worked in this church a lot. God's worked in my life a lot. I hadn't thanked him the way that I should have. It's probably because I don't trust him the way that I should have. It's probably because I still don't pray the way that I should. And I want you to pray for me. I'm thankful for those who have. I want you to continue to pray for me that I could be the pastor that God wants me to be, the daddy, the husband, that I could be used of him. And I pray that I understand the severity of that prayer. I want us to pray for the church. I want us to pray for the other churches in this community. I want us to pray for our Vacation Bible School, our Labor Day church retreat, our upcoming revival in the fall. I want us to pray for those who have left this church. I want us to pray for those who are still in attendance to this church. I want us to pray for those who aren't here right now. I want us to pray for the kids who are next door and for the teachers that prepare lessons for them. I want us to pray for God's mercy on us, on our families, and on our country. And as Jesus did, I want us to pray that it is not our will, but God's will be done, and that we are but instruments in that. Before we begin prayer service tonight, would anyone have any special